Welcome to the BAM podcast. That's right, BAM, business and money instead of bitching and moaning. This is the 2.0 version of the top three podcast, True Underdog. This will give you an inside look at building a business, overcoming business and personal issues, and most of all, not bitching and buying into this bitch-ass cancel culture lifestyle. I'm tired of it. I'm sure you're tired of it. Take it from me, who I've built three companies and have done over $1 billion in sales in my time. You're going to hear from cool-ass guests as well on my show. You have zero time to bitch, time to make your move. Let's fucking go. Bam. Hey, Travis. Listen, I appreciate everything that you've done in your life, but one of the things that really inspire me the most is you just mentioned what happened. Most people in today's world, you know, I call it the bitching and moaning world. I say it in the beginning of the podcast, you know, the BAM podcast. People are making excuses in life of why they can't do something, or they're quitting early, or they're blaming others for their failure, or other people's success is their failure, and they hate and they get bitter. And, you know, all of the above, this cancel culture, you know, victim card world that we live in that I struggle with. And I try to coach my kids to not do that. And even my kids, they get upset and they get in this thing. And I think of people like you who have to overcome serious adversity, right? Serious, like your arms and legs were taken from you. And I'm sure you were in a very, very dark place for a little bit of time. What was that like? How dark did it get for you? And what did you do to come out of that?
Well, you know, I'll be honest. I haven't, before I'd always tell people like, oh, I wasn't that bad, blah, 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 blah. I've been more, you know, open about it, because on the outside looking in, nobody could tell I was going through anything. When I was first injured, I told my wife she should leave me, but that's about the extent of it. But really, I'm having questions of why didn't I just die? How is this better? It felt like Forrest Gump, kind of, where Lieutenant Dan's like, I should have died in the battlefield. And I thought I should have. And the one thing I never want to be is a burden to anybody, you know? So I thought, I can't even feed myself or change my own clothes. Why, you know, what the heck? But, you know, after a couple of days of the whole going through that, I realized how fortunate I actually was to have my daughter by my side again, my wife there, who I told to leave. And she's like, that's not how this works. We'll get through this together. And then it became about me versus my injury. Like, how am I going to get better today? How am I going to better my life today? And what steps am I going to take to make sure that I can keep pushing forward to live a positive life and something that I can be proud of and other people can be proud of? Because being a burden to somebody is not what I want or I would strive for. But I realized early on that if I made it through injuries, I got to figure a way to get through and, you know, thrive.
And you're doing that. I mean, it's amazing how in today's world you see people that just make excuses like, oh, I didn't get that job, or, oh, I didn't do that. Life's so hard. And they don't really see, you know, everyone has something going on. It's all relative. But in your situation, you know, you brought up the Lieutenant Dan. Most people would feel like that. They don't want to be a burden. Why am I here? What am I doing? This is so hard. And you said something that I love. You wanted to find a way to thrive. And thriving's important. When you have the support mechanism, you know, with your wife and your two children, to like to keep you going, you know, that I think when we go out there as entrepreneurs or warriors or people that just want to make an impact in this world, we still struggle. We're still human. You're still human. Your people looked at you on the outside and you played. You handled it, but you got to lean on someone. You've got to have a support mechanism, right?
Oh yeah. And I mean, not to put too much pressure on my 6-month-old at the time, but my daughter was my absolute reason to why I wanted to get better, why I wanted to push forward, why I wanted to do the things I wanted to do. But then also, instead of having the pity in everyone's eyes when they look at me at first, because I get it, and they still do to this day, right? I wanted them to see more than my injuries. So I made it a point to like I said, thrive, to do everything I could to reestablish myself and regain everything I needed to regain, you know, during recovery. And then, you know, life's all peaks and valleys. I was top of the game when I got blown up, then I was injured and I was, you know, wiped clean on my arms and legs, built myself up with Walter Reed to be somebody actually important. You know, people would ask me to go visit this person or go visit that person, or, you know, do this seminar or talk about this with this, you know, person. And it was huge. But then I retired, and I can remember all I wanted to do was retire. I would, you know, out of there, I wouldn't be done with the, you know, the whole process. I want to get out of my life. And then after 19 months of recovery, I retired. I went to my in-laws' house in Texas while my house in Maine was getting built. And I lived there. And the first day I got there, I looked at a picture of me that was on the wall. It was like me in my full gear. Day before I got blown up, the picture was taken. And I was like, I broke down. I was like, who is it? Like, I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not Sergeant Mill, leader of combat soldiers. Like, who am I? And I had to redevelop and adjust my life and recalibrate. As I tell people, I'm a recalibrated warrior, not wounded. I had to recalibrate myself, and I had to figure out what my new, thing in life was going to be. And, from there, I started working out a little bit. I didn't get back on that train. And I started speaking, enjoyed speaking, and, and just kind of been going hard ever since.
You know, when you talk about recalibrate, people have identity issues, right? That's who you were before. And then you were this guy that's completely different. And, we were talking earlier about, football and some of these athletes, they quit, they retire, and they don't know where they belong in life, right? Your situation's a whole nother level. But, to put it in perspective for listeners and viewers out there, it's okay to repivot, recalibrate your life. It's okay to change your map and your path. That's what this is about. You don't want to go backwards, and you don't want to sit still. You're supposed to move forward and then pivot and move forward and pivot. And you're talking about how you were in Texas and you're building your house in Maine. You also opened a restaurant shortly thereafter. Talk about that, because I know that's one of your passions and love.
Well, no, I mean, Kelsey and I, when we were in Texas, this is 10 years ago, we were starting the Travis Mills Foundation and not really know what we were doing. $5,000 donation from ourselves to get this started. My father-in-law, Craig, is also like a founding member of the foundation. And we just thought, let's do care packages, overseas. And then we designed care packages that we sent overseas, and it went really well. But then we moved to Maine, and we decided to bring families out to Maine. Like, that was going to be our thing. And we went from an idea to one of the top veteran service organizations in the nation, the Travis Mills Foundation. And we rebuilt this facility, like revamped the whole thing, opened the doors in 2017. And now we bring out 8 families per week with physical injuries due to service. Like I have paralyzation, amputation, spinal cord injuries, things like that. And then we also have a post-traumatic stress program, which is one of the best in the nation, called Warrior Path. And we're so grateful to do that work. But, as I got to Maine and tried to reestablish who I was and pivot and turn, my father-in-law and I started flipping houses. And then I was able to buy a marina. So I bought a marina with a buddy of mine. We grew that business to like 108 boat slips, 12 rental boats, a cafe, 38 rooms and cabins and cottages on a lake. And I still own that. It's been 8 years now. But then I opened a restaurant next door to that. I just signed paperwork today for a brewery we're going to put in the next 6
months. That's exciting.
And, people wonder why I do so much. And the truth is, it's because I can. We live in the greatest country ever. It allows us to do things and to pivot and to change and to keep pushing forward. I mean, if I try to explain my life, I'm sure just like you, to somebody, their jaw would just drop. Like, what? Hold on. You're telling me this, and this, And, I started a clothing line called Rebel for Good that came out about 2 months ago. And it's just off the basis of, we can all be rebels, but do good with it, And, that's why I feel like I am. I'm a rebel. I was supposed to die. I didn't. And I was supposed to just kind of sit around and do nothing. But I decided to do good in the world and do everything I can. So, it's been a very interesting road. Don't get me wrong. Not a life I thought I was going to have, but, something that I can be proud of. And now when people see me, I'm not just the guy with no arms, no legs. And that mattered to me. Like, I'm Chloe and Dax's dad. I'm the guy that owns a restaurant or the guy that has a foundation. And when people try to, tell people who I am, it's like the fourth or fifth thing down the list. The guy with no arms, no legs. And that feels pretty good. I mean, I don't mind if people identify me as that, but it does feel pretty good when they do use the other parts of my life instead.
Yeah, which are the other parts that you're building, right? You couldn't help what happened with your arms and legs. This is the parts that you've went out and built your life on. How old are your kids now?
So my daughter's 11 and my son.
Your son's how old?
5 years old.
Five. God, it's a great age. So I have four, 20, I have 3 daughters and a son, 24, 19, almost 16. Those are my 3 girls. And my son is 12. And, we recently went through a major, like, we had a big business. It was a $1 billion valuation, 2,200 employees, all this stuff. And we ended up closing because of manufacturer's issue and having to BK the business. Like it, we have a major $1 billion lawsuit, all these things going on. And, you know, in the media, it's put a bad, you know, put some bad press on me saying it was our fault. It wasn't Generex, all these things. And my family's had to suffer and they've had complaints. I bring this up because I want to talk about how kids notice things. And so I was driving with my son the other day. He's seen me, you know, with, we've had death threats. We've had all this thing because the company's closed and these customers are left hanging. Where we're trying to get Generac to take some accountability and own their mistakes and make this right. But my family's getting threatened. We've had life threats. We've had harassment. We've had tires popped. You name it. My kids picked on. But I'm still opening new companies. We're talking about this earlier. I'm still doing things. And my son said something to me like a month ago. And he said, Dad, you know, I had to write a paper about who I admire the most. And he said, I said, well, how did that go? He said, well, I said you. And I was like, why? He said, because with everything going on, you just stick your nose down and you just keep working. You just work so hard. And I say that because kids notice things. And your daughter being 12, she doesn't look at you as my dad with no arms or no legs. She looks at you as you're providing no matter what the world sees you as, and you're building. And that's inspiring her. And she's growing roots inside her that she's going to be, you know, a game changer as well.
Oh, so
I
yeah.
think it's important.
Me and my daughter are really close. My son and I are too, don't get me wrong, but my daughter and I, we go everywhere together. I take her to school every morning, pick her up. Her friends, I give them rides. So like they're always, I guess the thing is now spilling the tea. So I know all the gossip. If you want to know anything about middle school at Miranda Cook, I got you. I'll tell you all
That's
about
great. It. Isn't it great driving them and hearing all the stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, we're best friends. And the thing is, with this clothing line, like this Rebel for Good that I started, I told Chloe she's going to have her own clothing line for kids, you know, like we'll call it Chloe's Collection or something. So she sees it and she understands it. And I'm not different to her, which is awesome. You know, like I don't let things hold me back. I'm just one of the other parents. I'm just, you know, but she does get a little annoyed whenever she has a problem. I'm like, oh, what was that, Chloe? You want to what? If she's like, I want to quit this or I'm done with this. I'm like, what was that? And then she has to say the slogan that we use of never give up, never quit. And she's like, oh my gosh, Dad, whatever. Never give up, never quit. Ugh. But you know, kids will bring you back on anything. You know, I don't really have bad days. I get the chance to be with my family and that's really blessing, you know, a real blessing in my eyes because my buddies didn't make it back to their families and the price that I could have paid.
Yeah. And again, I can't stress enough how thankful I am that you out there, you know, protecting our rights and fighting for our country. I don't think veterans and military get paid enough. I always say, if you want to fix the world, I'm not in politics, thank God, because they would really come after me. But I think teachers, I think police, and I think military need to be paid like lawyers and doctors. And I think when you change that and you get, you know, certain people to join those industries and those careers, I think that it just elevates everything. You know, they're not treated that way and it's wrong. And so that's something I wish or hope our country one day changes. You know, the people who educate our kids, the people who protect our country, and the people who protect us here in the streets locally, they should be compensated equal to an attorney or a doctor or dentist, my opinion. I've always said that. Somehow, some way, realign some things to make that happen, I think makes a difference because the military is underpaid. No matter what you do, it's underpaid. You know, I was in for 9 weeks in Navy and dislocated my shoulder in MEPS at boot camp and got sent home. And I remember I went in as an E3 and I had a kid and they promised all this stuff and the pay just wasn't great. And it's not fair because of what goes on. But then when you go in here and you build these three businesses, I think you may even have more than that because you mentioned an energy drink you're part of. So you probably got a handful of businesses that you're dipping into. But let's talk about this brewery you're super excited about. What's it going to be about? What inspired you to do it? What's it going to be called?
Well, that's the thing. So the name we haven't even picked yet. I just, you know, I told people at my foundation I started this. I told everybody, like, I don't know all the answers. I'm not like some guy that went to college and knows all about business. And my wife will tell you that. And I don't know what I'm doing. But I can build a team, and I build a really good team. So the brewery consists of me, business partner Zach, business partner Bill, and Mark, a new business partner. His son Connor's a brewmaster out in Oregon. He's coming back with all these great ideas, bringing a West Coast flair to the great state of Maine. And, you know, we're trying to figure the name out, but I just signed paperwork today, which is exciting. And, yeah. You know, it's just like my restaurant. I don't know how to run a restaurant or own a restaurant. I didn't even work in a restaurant, but I built the team, me, Zach, and Bill again, and our friend Andy, who's the general manager. And he's a 25% owner with us. He's one that takes care of all of it. and we have an executive chef. The foundation, I have an executive director, and I have five different people that are in high power positions out of the 32 staff members, and they take care of it. So, you know, I'm not arrogant enough to sit here and think like, oh, I know everything I'm doing. I'm just going to do it. Work. No, I'll take people's opinions and I'll take their strengths and I'll put them all together and we'll see what shakes out of it.
Now, a quick word from our sponsors.
It's like when you're building a team around your business, small, big, medium, it doesn't matter. It's like the Avengers. You can only do so many things great. You can't do everything great. You got to find smarter people in different categories than yourself in order to do things. I always preach that all the time. Like the moment an entrepreneur is so egotistical thinking they can do everything, they're not going to be super successful. You have to know that I can do one or two things really great. The others, I got to bring people on that are smarter in different categories. And it sounds like that's what you do. And I think the best lesson of learning, like running a restaurant, is just doing it, right? I mean, then you just get it. You're like, oh, shit, this is how this works.
You know, two thoughts on this. So, like, first off, you know, I wanted to say I had my – we have our year anniversary of our restaurants coming up. The scariest business or the least successful business to start in America is a restaurant. And I told everybody at the meeting that we had, or our Christmas party or holiday party, I said, guys, just know that with my ability to have everybody in the area know who I am, and Bill, you know, he's a real big real estate broker that owns a big company, and Zach and his wife's a dentist, one of the bigger ones. I said, we can get people through the door one time. I can guarantee one time they're going to come check it out. I said, the fact they come multiple times, that's on you. You know, it's all because of their hard work. You know, so that's the thing. Like, I build the team and I'd let them know, like, my popularity or who I am only goes so far. If we don't have a good product, if we don't have good people, they're not coming back. But we're one of the successful restaurants in the area, and we were almost Maine's best new restaurant. We lost by a couple of votes to a place down in Portland, but whatever. And then the second thought I had is this country, unfortunately, it lacks the teachings of entrepreneurship. It doesn't want people to go out and do it. One of my best friends from childhood called me today, and I talk to him regularly. He's one of my closest friends in the world. And he's thinking about, you know what, he just got terminated from his job. Not him, but like the position or whatever, the job had to fold. He goes, you know, I've always thought about going in on one of these franchises for a restaurant. He goes, and I got an opportunity right now. He goes, but I don't know where to start. And I said, I can't talk to you right now. I'm running literally into a meeting, but I'm going to give you a call later. And I just, you know, two of my closest friends now, him and my other buddy, just started another company. Like, they're just finally like, you know what? I'm going to start a company. I'm going to do something. I'm going to try it. Because too much of us sit on the sidelines and we're like, oh, I don't want to. It seems hard. But, you know, starting something's awesome. I mean, you might not sleep at night that great. You know, be some really long days. But looking back, I mean, I'm proud of everything I've done. I mean, there was days with the foundation that I was, you know, pulling my hair out, wondering what the heck I was doing, why we were doing this. You know, and now it's, you know, very successful, and we're very lucky that we have the families we take care of and the supporters that we have that believe in our mission.
I saw something on TikTok the other day that said, you know, our battles that we go through, when we finish going through them, we get blessings. And when our blessings run out, we have another battle. And I think that it's the same way when you're running, when you open a business or you're married or you've got kids or, you know, you have a career, a job out there. For the listeners out there, like, everybody goes through, like Travis said earlier, peaks and valleys. Like, it's never hunky dory, but everything that doesn't kill you when you still wake up today has only made you stronger. And if you have that mindset to think like that, glass half full, I learned from this, I'm going to be better for this, I have wisdom now from this, it does really make a difference. Like, just talking to you now and before, and I think you talking to me, like, both of us have grown in the last year with doing our things. Like, that's what happens, right? You become bigger and better. Or as you mentioned earlier, because I got to change my drink here, I got to level up, right? Everybody has to level up. They have to look at, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you think's holding you back. That fear destroys everybody. And I think the worst thing you can ever have in life is regret. Regret of not trying, not jumping on that unicorn, not betting on yourself, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're an entrepreneur, you get the chance to bet on yourself. You get the chance to, you know, and again, I take people that are very strong, and it's very calculated when I build a team around, you know, a restaurant build or whatever, because I know their strengths, and I know where my strength is and where my weaknesses are. But at the same time, just taking that step is like the hardest part for people, and I understand it. But since I almost died once, I just now I'm kind of like, I'm going to go for it. And not everything I do turns to gold, you know, like I have my ups and downs with some of the things I try to do, and I try to beat against, you know, my head against the wall, try to make them work. But I encourage everybody, like, take that chance. If you think there's something there and something you're passionate about, take the chance. I mean, at the end of the day, well, you know, like, just think about Kevin Plank. He started selling shirts out of the back of his trunk of his car. You know what I mean? And he started Under Armour, but out of the back of his car. And then now it's turned into what it is because he believed that he had a better product and that he could make a better product. But I don't know, stories out there, like, all over the place. It's just taking it and harnessing it and pushing forward.
No, I agree. So talk to me about this energy drink thing.
Well, okay. So I don't own the company. I happen to, you know, have a chance to, maybe I invested in the company, but Jocko Willink, great guy, podcaster, you know, Navy SEAL commander, you know, really good dude. He has Jocko Fuel and Jocko Goes, and, you know, it's a really cool company. They make all these products with no sugar in them, but they do taste good. And they let me have my own signature flavor of Whoop Assault, because you can't put ass on a can, but it's Whoop Ass Watermelon. So you got to open a can of Whoop Ass every day. And, you know, just great guy, doing some really cool things. And his business partner, Pete Roberts, became a really close friend of mine. He lives up here in Maine, actually. And the company's based out of Farmington, Maine. So it's pretty cool. It's just down the road. And, you know, Pete's one of my mentors in business. He's the guy that decided I'm going to go on my own and do this. He has Origin boots and jeans and clothing products, and just a fantastic guy. Just, you know, nose to the grindstone, keep pushing forward. And he, you know, helps me with a lot of my business ventures that I get into, or ideas I have, if they're good or bad ideas.
What about doing a clothing business? Like, my daughters are always asking, Dad, we want to create this clothing business. And, you know, I have no idea where to start. I mean, I know how to open up a home services business. I know how to do a podcast. I'm like, shit, where would someone start? Like, how did you dip your toe into that, you know, for your foundation and get it going?
Well, I tell you what, for the Rebel for Good stuff, I had this vision and this idea that, you know, people got to wear clothes, right? That's a given, unless you want to go to jail. And was such a big thing, right? Livestrong, no great idea has really ever been, like everybody, it's all been thought of before, in the most part. And like Livestrong was out there with Lance Armstrong, and I think, you know, when he got in trouble, a lot of stuff went by the wayside. But people felt good wearing his stuff. Livestrong yellow bracelets. Everybody knew what that yellow bracelet was. They want to live a better life. And I thought, you know, I don't mind wearing the Under Armour and the Nike and whatnot, but I want to wear something that you feel good about, right? So something that stands for something. So Rebel for Good came to mind because, you know, we're a country built on rebels, if you will. You know, we can all do good in the world. 15% of everything that we sell goes back to nonprofits. And the truth is, we're going to use mine. We're going to try to get a kids cancer one we're going to donate to, a women's shelter, and a universal drinking water. So maybe your thing's not the military, but you like, you know, universal drinking water, like more environmental stuff. Well, you're going to have something to donate to, and we're going to donate that from our profit. So it's like a double bottom line of, you know, doing good in the world. And also, you're going to have a good story to tell why, like, the R and the shirt and the hats and stuff is backwards, because everybody can turn their life around. And I don't know why I started it. I couldn't tell you for the life of me, but I thought it'd be good. And then I think I'm going to build a YouTube, like, TV show around being a rebel for good and what that means. You know, I have a podcast, American Hero Show, that I do. And it's not your typical, you know, police officer, firefighter. Yes, they're American heroes, but it's also the founder of Home Depot, you know, Gary Sinise on there. And just people in the community, Adrian Arnst, who just blow your mind, the story, people giving back. And that's the thing, right? I'm not special. People, because of my injuries, I'm special to people. But at the end of the day, I'm really not special. I'm a regular everyday guy that just had to figure it out. And because of my injuries, I get put on maybe more of a pedestal, or get more limelight than somebody that's not injured like me. But I'm going to do good with it. And that's kind of my whole thing, is like, just do good, you know?
I love that. I love that. And I love how humble you are. Because, dude, everyone's special in their own way, but you are special. You've overcame some major adversity. And I think anybody who hits things straight on and overcomes whatever their challenges are in life, that's what God's intending people to do, is to learn from these challenges and become better. And I think, you know, a lot of times people run from them. Do you know the difference between a buffalo and a cow?
Now, a quick word from our sponsors.
It's about the storm. I do, because I watch Yellowstone. But I, if you want to tell your listeners, because I think they
need to. It's about the storm? Well, okay, well, you know, I don't know they put it on Yellowstone yet, because I was talking to actually producer of Yellowstone I have a relationship with, and I was telling them about this, like, oh, we might write that in there. So it's not in there yet, I hope, but it's something I heard from somebody. I didn't make it up, but I said it on a TED Talk. But really, the difference between a cow and a buffalo is, when a storm is coming, so you've heard it before, a cow actually runs away from the storm.
Yep.
And the problem with that is the storm just chases them, and all those problems and all that anxiety and all that stress is just beating the shit out of them. And a buffalo actually runs through the storm, punches it right in the mouth, and gets right through it. So it gets through that quicker, learns from that, it gets it behind it, and starts to move into the sunshine. And I think that, you know, that's what you've done into your situation. I've done everyone who's ever had a storm, and everybody gets them. You get two choices. You can either run from it, hide from it, or you can deal with it. And my man here, Travis, is living proof of, look, you deal with this, and then that's not who you are. That's not what defines you. The other stuff is. That's just part of your history, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't given the chance, you know. Like, I guess at some point I had to make the decision, am I going to get better or not get better? You know, am I going to lay here or be miserable? And I just wasn't going to allow myself to do that. I mean, I had a little girl looking up at me, you know, and wanting to be with me and ride my wheelchair with me and go around and say hi to people. And I had a great support team with my wife, my parents, my in-laws. And at the end of the day, I was given the opportunity to make it through my injuries. So, yeah, I had to kind of face everything head on. And, I mean, not every day is rosy, don't get me wrong, but I think people are blown away when they're like, hey, what's a bad day look like for you? They think I, like, take this whole day to, like, mope and be angry. I'm like, well, like, maybe I dropped my phone or broke the screen, so I go get it replaced. Like, yeah, no, I get that. Like, I'm saying, like, for you, what's a bad day? And I'm like, that's like my bad day. Like, I don't dwell on what happened. I can't change it, right?
Right.
I'm actually writing my second book right now, and it's based off resiliency, because if people hire me and I get to speak to a lot of corporations throughout the nation, it's actually how I make most of my income. The rest of the stuff is just building equity. My wife loves that, by the way. I keep putting money in. I'm like, look, it's going to pay off. Don't worry. I know this.
Yeah.
But I'm writing my second book, and I'm using people's stories that have bounced back, you know, from different things. And I mean, offline, considering what you're going through right now, maybe you're a good story for that, you know, hitting rock bottom with having things happen, then rising back up from the ashes. But I'm doing one for, like, a widow, a cancer survivor. You know, I guess my big long point of this is there's people out there going through a lot of trials and tribulations, and they found a way to get through. And for this new book I'm writing called Bounce Back, it's with Hachette Publishers. I'm actually able to use their story, have my spin on it, and then medical background of why, you know, the results of why, you know, they were able to get better or get past their injuries, like what the psychologists or doctors or scientists or whatever say about whatever they went through. So I'm pretty fired up about that. But that's the thing, right? You have a choice, and you make your choice. And I chose to get better. And people just, they don't understand when I tell them, like, I don't have bad days. I just decide every day that this is my life, and I stop asking why. You know, people. Mm-hmm. That's my point I was trying to make. I got really long winded there, Jason. I apologize, but
no. I think it's important they hear this. So continue.
Well, I was at my buddy has a foundation, Adapt Training Foundation, and you know, he has this whole program, and I went down there to work out, and that's what they do, but. They had some counselors there. They're trying to talk feelings, and I don't really, that's not my thing, you know, too much. And then this gentleman was saying how some night he just sits there and he starts to tear up. You know, he's paralyzed, and he's like, I just start asking why. And then he goes, and then the counselor's like, well, did you ever go deeper into that? Like, you know, research why you feel that way? And he's like, well, no, I guess not, maybe. And I said, well, and then they're trying to get into a conversation. I piped up, and I said, hey, I said, he's not going to have it anymore. Like, there's no reason to dive into that. He goes, well, why not? And I said, because you're never going to find the answer why. I'll never know why I was chose to get blown up. I'll never know why this had to happen to me. And I'll never know, you know, anything past, like, me getting blown up, I'm never going to find out the answer. I mean, maybe later on, obviously, you go to the pearly gates and everything, depending on what you believe in. But for me, I'll never know why this had been my life. So I just shut it down. I'm like, this is me. This is my new normal. This is how I operate. This is my life. And I'm going to push forward.
Yeah, play the cards that you have. You can't dictate the cards you're given, but you got to play your best hand. I truly believe that. Your first book was a New York Times best-selling book called Tough as They Come.
Yeah.
And you also had a movie that came out. that I haven't seen. I'm going to watch it. But Travis, A Soldier Story, correct? Is that the movie's title?
Yes. So I have that one that's out. But then Magnolia Network just did a new documentary on me. And it just hit on Veterans Day a couple months ago. And it's on HBO Max and Discovery Plus, and it's called Hi, I'm Travis. And that one, you know, was just done this past summer. So it's a new good. And if you get a chance to check them out, either of them, both are really good. One you're going to see me when my daughter's only like 3 years old. And the other one you're going to see when my daughter's 11. But it's getting good reviews. And Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, I went and spoke for their company, and Chip met me, and he wanted to do something more, and he wanted to tell my story. So they did a little, you know, 47-minute documentary on me. It's on, like I said, HBO Max. It's called Hi, I'm Travis.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, listen, man, I appreciate everything you've done. I love you sharing your stories and, you know, your success and your inspiration out to the rest of the world, all these BAM listeners out there that you know, it doesn't – all it takes is some grit, like my boy Dan Campbell says, our boy Dan Campbell says, some determination, you know, be a buffalo, run through the storm, overcome adversity, and don't let mistakes, troubles, you know, obstacles define who you are. You are who you want to be, and you get to make that decision, right, Travis?
Absolutely. Every day you get to make that decision, how you're gonna act and what you're gonna do. You know, I don't dwell on the past, I reminisce, and I keep pushing forward, and my attitude is the only thing I can control.
I love that. Well, hey, thank you for coming on our show. The easiest way to find you, they can find you on social media. We'll make sure we give them all the links. They can definitely check out your book. When's your new book come out?
It's going to be a little bit. We're just in the rough. It's probably end of this year, next year, somewhere in there. But we're looking forward to it. I'm excited. And everybody always wonders how I do it. Well, I can't just tell them I do it. So I got a way to show people how I actually do it. So thanks for your time. And then let me know. Like I'd love to get me some lines.
Yeah, so you broke up a little bit. You said if I what?
Oh, if you ever want to go to a Lions game, just let me know. I can Motor City. There's direct flight from Portland, Maine, right to Detroit.
I want to go. We need to set that up. Absolutely. Next year is our year, so we're gonna go. I'll bring my son, bring your daughter, or bring the family. I'll bring my family. We'll go get a suite. We'll hang out. We'll go on the field, see the guys. It'll be good. We're going to go deep in the playoffs next year. We're gonna win the Super Bowl the year after. I'm already calling it.
This is exciting stuff. Yes, I'm in. I'm all in for that.
I'm all in for that. All right. Hey, Travis, God bless you. Be good, my man. Thank you for coming on the show. Bam, that's a wrap here.